catchy little tune, but it's so true. God loved you. God sent His Son. He died on the cross. But He's alive. We'll celebrate that. Let me encourage you to come Thursday night as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, and spend some time with each other. And then Sunday morning. Now, those of you that are always inviting folks to come, be sure to tell them the time change. You don't want somebody to show up at 11 o'clock and the doors are locked, the lights are off. They'll think the rapture happened and they got left. So be sure, you know, and folks that aren't here today, folks that come once in a while, be sure and let them know. The Sunday school at 8:30. Of course, come on for breakfast. Guys will have a lot prepared for us. Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how much God loves you, how much God cares about you. And I just feel impressed to continue that again today, to think about how much God loves us. And so, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, those that have been in the Wednesday night Bible study realize that we looked at this passage of Scripture several months ago. But the good thing about the Bible is you can read it and teach it and preach on it and come back a week later and read it and preach on it and teach on it and say some things different. In my first church, I had a guy that always wrote in the margin of his Bible, you know, the date that I preached on something. And I preached on one something and I preached on it again about a year later. And he came and said, "Preacher, you preached on that last year." I said, "Yeah, I shot you with the first barrel last time and I got your second barrel this time." Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When we lived up in the mountains, pastoring a church in Canton, we rescued a Cocker Spaniel that we named Lady from a puppy mill. And Lady was a blessing and a joy to us for about a dozen years or so, and then she died. And so we went through the grief like you would if you lose a precious pet. Wasn't long till my dear wife was saying, "We got to have another one. We got to have another one." And so she got her computer and she got on the website for rescued dogs. And she found one. another Cocker Spaniel. "Well, how did you know that this is the one?" She said, "Well, her name's Scarlett. And when I looked on her picture, she was cowered over in the corner of the cage like, nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. I've been abandoned." And Pam said, "My heart went out to her." So she gets on the phone and does all the necessary work. We drive several hundred miles round trip to go to the other side of Knoxville, Tennessee, to pick up this dog. We pay all the required fees, load her in the car, and she sits in my wife's lap all the way back, getting all kinds of loving words and loving touches. We bought her a new bed. We bought her a new water dish and food bowl. And Scarlett knew that from then on there was going to be food for her every day. She also learned that if she'd sit beside of my wife's chair when we were having a meal and look up at her with those big brown eyes, she could get some bacon or pancake or chicken or whatever else off the table, off my wife's plate, that she could eat. And she was a joy to us till we lost her back on in July, I think it was, June or July. What did Paul just tell us as he wrote to the Ephesians? He tells us about a people, you and me, who were in Satan's cage, trapped, unloved, unwanted, miserable. How does he put it there in verse 2? You walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the power that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, you were in Satan's cage because of your sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us. And because of that sin, we're lost. Because of that sin, we're separated from God. And let me tell you something, Satan does not love you. Satan hates you. Satan's joy is making you miserable. His ultimate goal is to get you to go to hell, but if he can't get you there, he wants to make you miserable between now and then. Satan hates God. And he enjoys making God's creation that was created in the image of God miserable. And like Scarlet in that cage, unloved, cowering, that's the way we were. But what does that verse 4 say? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God didn't need a computer. God didn't need a website. God looked at you and God looked at me. And he says, I choose you to be in my family. I choose you to be in my family. You see, that's the message of Christmas and Easter. God choosing us. Now, we only had to go a few hundred miles to the other side of Knoxville. Jesus came from heaven all the way to this earth. Jesus shed all of his glory and majesty, all of the opulence of heaven, to come and walk the dusty streets of Palestine. To know what it was to be hungry and thirsty and know what it was to be lied about and to know what it was to be whipped. To know what it was to have a crown of thorns placed on his head. To know what it was to have nails driven into his hands and into his feet. To know what it was to have a spear in his side. To know what it was to have the sin of you and me and all the rest of the world placed upon him. He had to go a lot further for us than we did to just rescue a little doggy. God so loved. God chose you. You see, Scarlett didn't choose us. She didn't know we existed. We chose her. The Bible says, even while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. God chose you. God loved you. What a wonderful phrase that is. But God, who in His great mercy. God, who in His great mercy loved us. And you know, when Scarlett was in that cage and Pam had just seen her on the computer, she hadn't done a thing to make us love her. She hadn't done a thing to love on us. It was all on our part toward her. And you know, that's what Paul is saying here, while we were dead in sin. And then in verse 8, by grace. And verse 9, not of works. It wasn't that God looked at you and God looked at me and said, oh, look how those folks love me. Look at how those folks are so nice. Look at how those folks are so good. I've just got to save them. No, God looked at us and saw us in our lostness, saw us in our need, saw us in our want, saw us in our separation from Him, and God chose to come to you and say, I want you to be my child. I want to bring you into my family. I want you to be in my family forever. I want to love on you forever. I want to give you special blessings all of your life. I want you to know how much I love you and how special you are to me. The whole story of Christmas and Easter is God's love for us. You know, I don't know how we got it started, but I grew up so long thinking that God was just sitting there on His throne with His lightning rod to zap me and zap me and zap me and zap me. I didn't know anything about how much He loved me. Now there's consequences to sin, and there's an eternal consequence in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's an eternal consequence. But it's our choice. The river over here when we came through Booger Hollow this morning was about as high as it's been any time since I've been coming to Barbie's Grove. And I thought, now, where do they put up the barricade if it's over the bridge? Or don't they put up a barricade? I don't know. But it hit me. If there was a barricade somewhere up there that said, bridge out, I said, well, fooey on that. And I just went around the barricade and dropped into the river. Whose fault is it? My stubbornness. There's a cross. There's a barricade to you going to hell. There's an empty tomb that's a barricade to you going to hell. God does not send people to hell. People choose to go there by bypassing the cross and bypassing the empty tomb and saying, I refuse to believe the bridge is out. And when we do that, we bring upon ourselves the punishment of our own bad choice. But those bad choices are not the will of God. God's will is that we choose his love. Now, Lady and Scarlet chose our love, and they brought great love to us. And we gave great love to them. And so it is that God, when we respond to his love, gives great love to us. We love him because he first loved us. He chose us. He went to all the trouble and trial and expense, in a sense, necessary to bring us out of Satan's clutches and to give us eternal life. To bring us into his family and to love on us. He paid the price for you and for me. You know, there's a passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about if your child comes to you and wants bread, you're not going to give him a rock. If he wants a piece of fish, you're not going to give him a snake. And I've seen you here in the church. These little kids that were just up here a moment ago, they know they're loved. They know they're loved. I've seen you love on them. I've seen them run to you as grandparents or great-grandparents and love on you. They know they're loved. In that passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes on to say, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you don't give them a stone or a rock, you don't give them a snake, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask him good things? How awesome it is that God is greater than we are. You know, we chose to bless a little puppy dog, but God chose to bless you and me for all of eternity. Accept it. Thank him. Praise him. Live it. How wonderful it is. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, God just wants to give you good things now and for all of eternity. And he wants all of the universe. All of the universe. To see how special you are to him. Now, I still haven't got it all straightened out. These kids were up here a moment ago. You're sitting back there, that's my grandkid. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I'm so proud of them. That's why you're taking their pictures. You go to a graduation. Talked to a man this week. He's fixing to fly to Texas. He says his first great-grandchild is graduating high school and said, I was there when that grandchild was born and I want to be there when that grandchild graduates from high school. He's proud of that grandchild. God says, hey, all of eternity I want to hold you up before the whole universe and say, look at my special people. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Born again. Those that I looked in saw in their cages of Satan, And in my great love, I brought them out. I brought them out to be a part of my loving family for all of eternity. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to save you. And I invite you to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior today. If you've got friends and neighbors and family members that they think, you know, God's mad at me. Go tell them God loves them. God cares about them. Show them this verse, but God, who in His great, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And tell them He reached out to you. All you have to do is reach out to Him to receive His love. It's fun to go and rescue a little puppy dog. But how much greater to rescue a child of the devil and bring him into the family of God, or bring her into the family of God. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. If you've never received Jesus, would you do it this morning? If you don't understand all about it, you come and tell me that, and I'll get somebody to take you back in the Sunday school room and explain it to you more. If there's somebody on your heart that you know that needs Jesus, maybe you want to pray for them right there. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray for them. I want you to know God loves you. God chose you. And apart from Him, there is no eternal life. You have to go around the cross and the empty tomb to be lost. But you simply have to say yes to Jesus to be saved. Father, as we bow before You this morning, You know the hearts of every person that's here. If there's a single person that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who's old enough to make a decision, I pray, dear Father, that today, as the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, they'll have ears to hear and they'll say yes. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and I ask Jesus into my heart. Lord, give us a burden for our lost friends and neighbors and family members. And Lord, help us to be so appreciative of the love that You have for us, that we love You in return. That we lavish our love upon You. In Jesus' name, amen.